Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a 3 o'clock hour.
I'm not wavering. I might be wavering.
On Afternoon Drive. As always, you can listen to this show and all of our local shows on The Fan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ashley Bastock coming up in just about 20 minutes here. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. We got our guy Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, coming up at 4 o'clock as well. A little bit of NBA news here as the melodrama in Milwaukee continues. Shams Charania is saying Giannis Antetokounmpo. I said that weird.
You did say
and
that weird.
His agent have started conversation with the Bucks about his future and whether his best fit is staying or going elsewhere. A resolution is expected in the coming weeks. I love Giannis. Quiet down.
Quiet down. It's almost like a shut up and dribble.
Yeah, pretty much.
Why are you okay? Yeah. Explain, I guess.
Because if you wanted out, you should have done it in the summer.
He just does this all the time. It's like Matt came in and was like, you guys see this report? It's like, this is the tale as old as time with Giannis. This is what he does every couple
but he
months.
He didn't scrub his Bucks handle or his Bucks stuff off his handle until this week.
Yeah, there we go. Really going to show them, huh? They at one point had they lost 8 of their last 9. At one point it was like a 7-game losing streak. They're tumbling right now. Giannis is pissed. I'd be pissed too. But I'll believe it when I see it.
I just think, Jimmy Haslam as an owner just gets things done. He just does. Right? I mean, there's no team that guy can't sabotage with his candid ways.
It does make me want to root against the Bucks in some ways.
Haslam or Giannis?
Haslam, yeah, Haslam. Okay. I've always liked Giannis.
Yeah,
I
do too.
I don't know. There's something that I've just always liked his game. I've always liked. He just seems
like a very good-hearted
guy. Yeah, I know. And he really wrapped Milwaukee around him and was like, I'm gonna be great with them. And I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah, it is.
You hate to see. I think there's a part of. I think there's a part of every Cleveland fan that watched LeBron go elsewhere, and you think about this, where you're like, oh, he's just going to leave, and it'll leave them abandoned. And what I would say, though, is that he stuck it out. He got the title before he left. Like, he spent, a year 11 with Giannis? Like, he did all he could do.
Yeah, he was like, hey, build a championship around me, and they traded all the other guys and brought in Miles Turner.
Well, no, I mean, they made the move for Dame. That was the trade that it was in good spirits. The trade for Dame was there was nothing about that suggested that it was supposed to go as poorly as it did, but it went poorly. And when it went poorly, the shift off of that is like, let's get Chris Middleton. He's gone. He's been like, let's get Kyle Kuzma. Let's bring him back in the mix. And it's like, what are we doing here?
Who would have thought?
You have no room.
Who would have thought that Kyle Kuzma would not have gone well in Milwaukee? Not me. Now, all that being said, we had several instances with Jerry Jeudy over the last 2 weeks. There was I'm going to give you two-word answers 2 weeks ago. Last week, he gave you three-word answers. Then this weekend, he and Shador Sanders had some sort of a kerfuffle on the sidelines that everybody's talked about. Well, today, Shador was asked about it and basically said it's behind us, basically. And then Jerry Jeudy was asked about his Shador interaction, and here's what he had to say.
What I would have done different, I probably just probably talked to him off camera. That's probably what I would have done different. Of course, I'm gonna speak my mind and tell me what and say what I need, what I see out there. But you know, it what it is. Football, man. Just me and Shador are good. You know, it's stuff like that happens. You know, y'all gonna make it bigger than what it is. You know, cause the media, you know, that's what y'all feed off of, negativity. You know, but it is what it is. This is the life we live. So you know, we move on from it. And I live a real life. You know, so what happened around in this locker room, you know. This real, not what's going on social media and everything. So, me and Shador good, everything good, man. We gravy over here.
You can see why I'm bothered by the comments.
I sure can.
Yeah, I mean,
that was the media. The media made this happen.
It's not your fault. It's the media. Because the media is the one that made you not answer any questions 2 weeks ago. The media is the one that made you go up to Shador and throw a hissy fit on the sidelines. The media did this, not you.
The media also makes you drop one out of every five passes you have.
Unbelievable. Like, I mean, you try to give a guy just a little bit, right? And a couple weeks ago, I tried really giving him way more than I should have. But he's just given me no reason to think he's different than what he was in Denver.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no accountability. I know it's a big buzzword this year, but there's no accountability in those words. You're deflecting. You're blaming everybody else but yourself. Like, just own up to it. It's not the end of the world if you just say, listen, my emotions got the best of me. We talked it out. We're putting this one behind us. But to be like, no, you guys made a big deal about it. No. How about the fact that you yelled at Shador on the sideline like he was a child?
And by the way, Shador was trying to tell you what you saw, and you continued to scream and berate him.
To the point where Posick had to go over there and separate him from Shador.
Like, I'll be honest with you. I do think these things happen, and I don't think just because this happened, it means you're at the end of the road and there's no salvaging it. But as the alleged leader/veteran on this team, and Jerry has talked about it, the Browns have talked about challenging Jerry to be a leader on this team for him to have this answer. Again, like, I came on a Monday and like, I want to see the human side of this. I want to treat Jerry like a human and not just, shut up and play football, right? This answer was trash. Like, at some point, Jerry, there's a part of me that is like just upset because it was like Jerry had come so far in how people had viewed him from where he was at the end with Denver with the Steve Smith stuff and the Mark Schlereth stuff. And who, by the way, will join us at 5:20. All that stuff. And then to get here, even earlier this season, where he wasn't getting the ball or when he was dropping the ball, he was keeping a good spirit about it. I don't know what flipped with this dude, but the easiest thing in the world would, when there's a new regime, do what Denver did, which is say, oh, that guy's a pouty baby, get him the hell out of here, except you really can't do that given his contract.
No, because of his contract and the lack of wide receivers we already have, like, it just seems really hard to be able to move off of it, but I don't know. You know, there's certain times I look at people and I'm like, man, they can't buy a win, you know? Like, nothing they do is right now, but this will turn around. This isn't one of those scenarios. Like, a lot of this is him doing this to himself, and this isn't, I don't even think this is self-sabotage. I just don't think he has any right answers here. He just continues to just step in it.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. It's interesting that is his answer with an organization that is so, it's kind of like the Wyatt thing, where it's like, all right, Wyatt said the truth and the Browns said anything else. You know what I mean? And now you're seeing Wyatt's family members tweet about all this kind of stuff because they're sick of the Browns' polished job here. The Browns do so much, put so much effort into what you guys see so that you'll just, you know, shut up and buy tickets and make sure you buy popcorn because I got to, you know, pay for that new monstrosity in Brook Park, which I'm excited to go see, by the way. So when you're starting to see, I don't believe in coincidences when you put that much into it. And in the same week, we have the Wyatt thing. We have Jerry Jeudy, who I guarantee you has been coached to say something else, couldn't even feign a good answer.
I just want to know what part of this is on the media. Were we supposed to just take the two or three word answers and just kind of let that one sit? Were we supposed to take the sideline blow up and just kind of be like, well, I mean, those are just teammates. What part of this is on us?
I'm to the point where I wouldn't mind this offseason. You basically have to do it post June 1, but basically paying someone to take Jerry's contract off your hands.
I mean, he's not helping you at this point.
Like, I mean, you basically...
He's not doing anything on the field, and he's not doing anything behind the scenes. It seems like it's helping you.
So you got the better football player, but you basically did the same thing. To save $8 million and take on Tyson Campbell, you basically gave one level of pick up to move off Greg Newsome.
Well, but the Browns are always so they always wonder why this happens to them. The lack of a pass that they get from me in this, the old Peterlin pass, the lack of a pass
the
that
Peterlin pass.
Everybody saw this coming.
Yeah.
Schwereth saw this coming from a mile away. I mean, he called out. I'll never forget that day of being on the air when they signed him and gave him the money. And it was like, what? Why? What happened here? And I get it. Everyone wanted to be excited about it. And you just thought last year would be what it always is. But like, it was just do like a modicum of research between just his Twitter account and what happened in Denver. And it was obvious to see how he's just a ticking time bomb.
Also, you thought that Kevin could make this work. Like, Kevin has proven, like Jadeveon Clowney, Kevin has proven we can make this work for a year with guys that are either money guys, guys who that's the only reason they're going to go anywhere, or guys that are problematic attitudes, whatever it is, he can make it work for a year. But long term, he can't keep the genie in the bottle. He just can't.
It always catches up
to you. And so, like, this is another thing. And I'm not trying to just use this to then turn it on Kevin Stefanski, because I clearly am done with Kevin Stefanski being the head coach here, because I just don't believe in his style of leadership. But I don't know how much more. Like, I continue to come back to the it's infuriating to me. And I'm going to draw it back to the Wyatt thing again, because it's still fresh in mind. It's infuriating that is how Wyatt Teller, who is thought of around the game as a universal good guy, who's thought of around town as a universal good guy.
Yeah.
He's got to juggle snaps with Tevin Jenkins, who's a good football player. It's not about Tevin. And then Jerry Jeudy can go out and act like a petulant child for weeks. And your response is, hey, we'll see you out there on the field on Sunday. Like, it's just like, what message are you sending to your locker room? What message are you sending to anyone that Wyatt Teller has to fight for snaps with guys who, no offense to Tevin Jenkins, he can't carry Wyatt's jock when it comes to playing football. Right. He's not. He's a fine guard. He's not Wyatt damn Teller and adding great out. Meanwhile, Jerry Jeudy can drop every damn pass. Jerry Jeudy can sulk like a baby. He can scream at the young quarterback, which is not what that kid needs. And you need to understand, Jerry, you're not making Shador or honestly any of the young quarterbacks better by doing that. And then the cherry on top is coming out and having a weak-ass answer on this.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry is getting some sort of excuse from the Browns here that I don't know. I don't know why he's getting it, and it seems like other players that are actually doing their jobs seem like they're not only not getting the pass, but they're also then having punishments being sent forth for them. It's a backward situation. There's no denying it. But Jerry, this was a bad job today. I don't know how anyone can look at this and deflecting blame and putting it on the media as any sign of a positive that he's moving in the right direction.
Real quick, because we could all use a good laugh.
Yeah.
Let's hear Michael Irvin on the It Is What It Is podcast, Crash Out.
The quarterback's not your You can't come and talk to this man any kind of way. Yeah, we got a problem here. Let's discuss it. Let's talk. Come on, Jerry Jeudy. Last week, he threw you a ball. Beautiful ball. You caught it, but you were doop, dancing around, and things went down. I didn't see Shador come up in your face and say a word. Jerry Jeudy, this is as dumb as you can be.
Doop, 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 doop. I want to use that in some analysis at some point.
It's going to be anytime Urban Meyer goes to a bar in Columbus. Doop, 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 doop.
Proctology exam.
Doop, 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 doop. By the way, proctology exams, not the most fun thing in the world. They might be slightly more entertaining if, while you're being examined, the doctor just went doop, 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 doop. Doctors, I'm just trying to make it easier for you, because it can be a little awkward, I'm assuming.
I like that you're going to give them tricks of the trade now.
I do like, you know, they didn't go to etiquette school.
Yeah, they need it. That's right.
Right? They went to doctor school. There's no bedside manners school.
Here comes the airplane.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I just love Michael Irvin, who's the most hot-headed scream first receiver in NFL history. He's like, we got to keep cooler heads here, kid. All right.
They called him a B. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's, and then at the end of it, it says it's the dumbest thing you've ever done. He's not kind. He was not kind in that moment.
Is it the media's fault that Jerry Judy's become a petulant child? 216-474-0092. We'll get Ashley Bastock's read on Jerry Judy's public temper tantrums and Deshaun Watson's 21-day window. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Ross Tucker coming up in about 40 minutes here. Nick and JP back with you to talk Jerry Judy, to talk Wyatt Teller, to talk Deshaun Watson. I'm just saying names now. I'm going to say another one. Ashley Bastock of Cleveland.com joins us now, as she does every single Wednesday at 3:20 on The Fan Hotline. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So, for the third straight week, what do you think about what you heard from Jerry Judy right there?
Right. I'm like, it's kind of crazy. We've opened three straight Wednesdays talking about the Jerry Judy press conference. But, you know,
should we do our best Jerry Judy impersonation and drop it?
Ba-dum bump. Tip your waitresses.
Well,
have some Sanka. Go ahead. Sorry, you had a great answer coming down the pike there.
You almost were going to be able to land it.
I lost my train of thought. So what was the question again? Repeat it one more time.
You were saying three straight Wednesdays we are discussing Jerry Judy, and that was a little baffling to yourself.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not because of anything he's done well. His frustrating year continues. Frustration was obviously a theme of his press conference today, and you know, I'm with you guys in the sense of I'm never a fan when guys start to just blame the media. Like, in total, it kind of becomes this one scary monster-like entity that you can put blame on. But look, I think, like, to Jerry's point, like, yes, this is football, but, like, these sorts of interactions on the sideline are, you know, they do happen, but they're not frequent enough that, like, it's not noticeable or not newsworthy when they do happen, right? Like, it's not like every single game even has one of these incidents. And Jerry even said today, like, the thing he would do different is not lose it like that on the sideline still when cameras are rolling. And if anything, it should have been talked about off the field, basically, out of sight of the cameras. So, yeah, I definitely think, like, look, when guys get frustrated, it's easier to blame the media for attention things get instead of self-reflecting, and especially amid a losing season as bad as this one has been, and obviously Jerry Judy nowhere near his production from last season when he had 1,000 yards and made a Pro Bowl. So I definitely just think the frustration is showing, and we get it every week with him now.
Can the season be saved for him, or are we at a spot where he's just already caused too much damage and he's been too ineffective for that to even be possible?
You know, I don't know. Like, I think Jerry Jeudy is still a good football player and can still produce, but him and Shedeur Sanders are going to have to get on the same page. And look, maybe it's not possible. Maybe these two just have not had enough time on task. Like, we keep talking about that and keep talking about the four-way quarterback competition. Like, maybe there just isn't enough time left in the year for them to get in a rhythm. But I think, like, Jerry Jeudy just didn't forget how to play football between last year and this year. But it's been tough, I think, and it is tough when you are a receiver and you really have been in no kind of rhythm this season so far. And he really hasn't been. So it's going to be a big ask for him to be producing, I think, at the level he produced at for most of last year.
Ashley, Wyatt Teller juggling snaps with Tevin Jenkins. Then after the game, he was asked, you know, hey, what was that about? He said it was performance-related. Kevin Stefanski said it was injury-related. Then Kevin says he's out with a calf strain for next week. We got family members tweeting about this action here, maybe blaming the Browns for getting Wyatt injured. What's your read on the Wyatt Teller situation?
Well, I saw you guys talking about this. I think maybe it was yesterday or earlier today, but just said it's weird, right? And that's like, that's how I feel about it. It's how I felt about it on Sunday because, yeah, I was there when we were talking to Wyatt in the locker room, and he very explicitly said he knew this was the plan on, like, Tuesday or Wednesday of last week and that he considered it a performance issue, that if he was playing better, they wouldn't have done this. So for me, it's interesting for a couple of reasons because rotating guys like that is obviously not very common, like drive on, drive off. And I'm like, well, I guess they do this as more of like a future move to get a look at Tevin Jenkins. Like, that was kind of my first thought. But then the other interesting part of all of this is we all know they spent a third-round draft pick on Zach Zinner last year, and he's not even active. You know, he's been a healthy scratch basically all season. So I'm like, where do things stand with that? What does that say about where they see him fit? Maybe it's as simple as Tevin Jenkins is active because he can kick out to tackle. Like, these are things we just don't know. But it's definitely, I think, a weird situation. And, like, there's so many people underperforming on this football team. Like, why would Wyatt Teller be the one making that sacrifice for performance, quote unquote? Like, it's just odd. This is a 3-win team. Like, I do not get the reasoning, quite honestly, at all. And I mean, really, all we have is a little insight Wyatt gave us after the game.
What'd you choose today, watching Shedeur on one field or watching Deshaun on the other field?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I just stood there and watched Deshaun. I'm always curious about that sort of element. Obviously, we've talked about this possibility for a while, and I've reiterated time and time again, you can never say never with this football team. It's how I feel now. But look, to give some people the inside perspective here a little bit, like, obviously this portion of practice we're watching, it's individuals, warm-ups. It's a very, very early portion of practice. There's not much to glean, but hey, this is the first time we've seen Deshaun out there in this capacity since he got injured. So understandable, it's the big news of the day, and obviously everything that comes with Deshaun Watson only adds to it.
If you had to give a definitive answer, yes or no, which side would you pick between to the question of this is going nowhere? Will Deshaun Watson play this year?
Okay, so I'm going to say no, with the caveat of you can never say no definitively with this team. Like I say no because I wouldn't do it. I quite honestly don't see the point. You have these rookie quarterbacks. You have to figure out what you have with them. So unless, like, both of them were hurt, I wouldn't do it, but this team is always doing things that I don't think they should do or I haven't thought about them doing before, and especially with the quarterback and especially with Deshaun Watson. I mean, I really thought when he went down with that ruptured Achilles against the Bengals last year that that was it, and I really thought that was it when the owner said at the owner's meetings he was a swing and a miss. Like, how do you come back from that? But apparently they have, and it all seems, you know, well after that. We know Jimmy Haslam attended his wedding earlier in the year even, so they're fine. But the whole Deshaun Watson thing from beginning to end has been unpredictable. From the time the Texans were looking to trade him and the Browns were out of the running, and then suddenly he was here. Like, you just can never say never. I would do it, would not do it, and I would say no, because I don't think it makes football sense. But with this team, we just never know. And weird things happen all the time. So there could be something that happens that requires him to start games that we don't even see coming yet because it hasn't happened.
What'd you make of Shador's last start, and how do you think this next start will go?
You know, I thought there was some good, some bad. And I think, again, kind of like what I talked about last week, the good for me is the looking downfield. And that was something this Browns offense hadn't had before. I would say the theme of his press conference today was about trust, and he needs to trust himself and trust what he's seeing. And look, I think sometimes when he's not trusting looks, or if he's not trusting his pass catchers, it's because they haven't had enough of that time on task that we talk about. And he didn't get a lot of practice reps with these guys. So that to me is obviously I think a throw like the touchdown to Harold Fannin is what you want out of him. That is when you are seeing him look downfield to make those plays. So, I'm curious. And look, the Titans are not that good. I think he's going to have some chances to look downfield against this defense. And I think the Browns defense is going to have some opportunities to give this offense good field position. So I think the Browns really have to play complimentary. And I think he just needs to continue to get more comfortable, like he talked about today, and really just trust what he's seeing. He said the game he feels like it slowed down for him a little bit over these last few weeks. So that's all promising. Like, I would like to see more evidence of that against the Titans for sure.
Ashley, we've got the Wyatt Teller stuff. We've got Jerry Jeudy crashing out. Then we've got Jerry Jeudy crashing out at Shador Sanders. I'm starting to see these things, and it's like, okay, these to me appear to be signs of a team, I don't want to say faltering, because they're also, there's a talent issue here, but this feels different than previous years. I'm just, as somebody who's in that locker room as much as you are you seeing more signs than just that in the locker room that the team is really straining under the weight of all this losing and the collapse potentially of this regime?
I mean, I think that those are the big ones, right? And I that you mentioned, Nick, and I think like those are the most notable to me. And I do think they feel different. Like, you have to start to wonder, right? When we start talking about job security, like, these are the things that your ears kind of perk up at, right? So I think it's going to be one of those things where hindsight is definitely going to be 2020. Like, maybe everything will stand pat. But, you know, at the same time, it's like this front office makes a move like extending Alex Wright, for example, right? One of their draft picks from a few years ago. Like, those sorts of moves to me are like a team where, they're acting like nothing's going to change, essentially. But then, I don't know, it's like this stuff sort of pops up one by one, and you do start to wonder, like, hey, could there be some major changes coming by the end of the season? Like, I think it's really going to be one of those things where we'll look back and be like, oh, yeah, this was a sign potentially and yada, yada, yada. But I don't think we're going to know for sure until that time comes, if it ever comes.
If they do move off of Stefanski and make that change, how married do you think Jim Schwartz is to being with Stefanski?
Ooh, that's a great question, because, you know, I've been somebody who I would love to see Jim Schwartz get another head coaching opportunity in the NFL. Like, I think he's learned so much. I think it's so well deserving, considering he's one of the best assistants in the league. And I think like this year has actually shown me so much about Jim Schwartz, the way he's been able to keep this defense performing for the most part. Motivated, extremely motivated, despite the losing not really being their fault outside of a handful of mistakes like the Vikings game and letting Carson Wentz drive 80 yards. We could argue the Jets game, they don't get the ball back for the offense, but the offense probably wasn't going to do anything if they got them the ball back. So I think it's an interesting question if he could get a head coaching job somewhere else, or if he would stay in that defensive coordinator role if there was a head coaching change here. I think the tough part for him about the possibility of being a head coach again is he's kind of been out of that hiring cycle for a while. He didn't get any looks really in 2023 when obviously the Browns were good. This defense was so good. And it kind of feels like once you're off that carousel, you're kind of off. And it doesn't help him that the league has really transitioned, you know, post like Sean McVay into these younger, offensive minded, new head coaching candidates. So that's a great question. Like, if there would be a head coaching change here, if Kevin Stefanski wouldn't be here anymore, what would happen to Jim Schwartz? I mean, I'm curious to see if he's going to get head coaching interest regardless, but I do think the trends of the league right now are not working in his favor. And I think it's unfortunate because I think he is deserving of that second chance somewhere.
All right, Ashley, big Taylor Swift fan you are. Travis Kelce says Taylor Swift and he have never had a fight. Do you buy it?
Ooh, yeah, I do buy it.
Is it because he gives off big Labrador energy?
Yeah, yeah. And you like can't risk fighting with Taylor Swift?
Wait, now what does this say?
Sounds like a miserable relationship.
Ashley, I've told Nick before, though. Hold on, I've told you before. Elise and I have never had a fight.
This is different.
Yeah. See?
am I a Labrador?
No.
Is that what this is?
Other than when you say it, if somebody says, I've never had a fight with my significant other, I think they just must not sleep together. That's all I think.
I got two pieces of evidence that suggest that that's happened. Only two, though.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's true. Two times.
This is off the rails.
I have two kids, Ashley. I mean, yeah. I have evidence.
Yeah.
I have evidence that this has happened.
Checkmate, I've got three. Ashley, great stuff. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks, guys.
You know, we don't do this just for Ashley, right? We are this out of pocket with everybody.
I hope she knows that.
I've texted her multiple times after just being like, hey, I'm sorry, that was on me, dog. We'll do better next time. I don't believe it, by the way. I don't believe it.
No.
Actually, no, I do with Travis just because him and Mongo, my dog, the same guy. Same guy, except one of them talks a little more coherently, and that's Mongo.
But I like this for the we just don't fight community. We needed a big leader in this campaign. Because yeah. I feel like when I've told you this before, you're like, I don't know. How is that even possible? I'm like, it's very possible. We just don't argue with each other.
I don't want to argue with you.
I argue with you all the time.
Yes,
that's actually what happens.
You
I don't argue with her,
so you don't argue.
So I can argue with you. Yeah, that's what
you're
that
welcome.
Is.
Your marriage is better because of me. Remember that.
Sure.
I quite honestly don't see the point. You have these rookie quarterbacks. You have to figure out what you have with them. So unless like both of them were hurt, I wouldn't do it, but this team is always doing things that I don't think they should do or I haven't thought about them doing before, and especially with the quarterback and especially with Deshaun Watson. I mean, I really thought when he went down with that ruptured Achilles against the Bengals last year that that was it. And I really thought that was it when the owner said at the owner's meetings he was a swing and a miss. Like, how do you come back from that? The whole Deshaun Watson thing from beginning to end has been unpredictable. From the time the Texans were looking to trade him and the Browns were out of the running and then suddenly he was here, like, you just can never say never.
That was Ashley Bastock, Cleveland.com. I did text her to let her know. We do this stuff with everyone, just as like a friendly reminder.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're space cadets. It's okay. That being said, she's spot on about the Cleveland. Now, I'm not now trying to butter up because
did she respond back and be like, I know?
No, not yet. And then my social anxiety kicks in of like, oh, damn, she hates me. But I'll get over it. because she is right on this, by the way. It's the whole frustrating part of the conversation is, well, they shouldn't. And they likely won't, but it's the Browns, so you never know.
Well, that's kind of the whole point of the past year and a half or so, is that it seems like every conversation we have to do so with the idea of, I would do this, but I think the Browns will do this, because they just operate differently than a lot of fans think at the moment.
Yeah, and I just, like with the Deshaun stuff, I know we've gone through a lot of the different tributaries on this. We do have Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, coming up in 15 minutes. I don't know. We've just reached a point where it's like, that's enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's bad enough he's probably going to have to be here next year. It's bad enough that by him being here next year, you can't hide him on the PUP or the IR next year unless he has another catastrophic injury, which may happen. You never know. But, like, if he's really going to be here next year, I can understand if some people go, well, if he's going to play next year, why not play him this year? Because I've had enough. Because I don't need to see it this year.
No, I'm good. And like all these people that are trying to turn him into some sympathetic figure, I'm just not there with it. There's no part of me that wants to root for him necessarily. But it's really, again, the impetus is just the idea that I think he's just too hurt of a player to even think that there's any value there. But like he misses in so many ways. Like, Nick, we didn't even bring up, did you see what happened around Thanksgiving with him? Like, he tried to do a really nice thing. I know both of us at certain times have been critical about his lack of involvement in the community and being around the neighborhood, mm-hmm. because it just seems like he's just night and day compared to what Jador does, right? And I saw on Thanksgiving he was handing out turkeys. And I'm like, wow, that's like a really cool thing. Like, he's going to the inner city, he's handing out turkeys, he's trying to give all these guys food. He did so in like a $400,000 car. It's like Deshaun just can't.
So he's got to have a beater to be able to hand out free turkeys?
No, like, just don't show up in the $400,000 car, man. Just don't. Like,
unless you're going to give away the car, too.
That's not at the end of it. He's like, and here's the keys to the BMW that costs $400,000.
And like, the person's I just want a place to live.
It was like, I just think the awareness is lacking from him consistently. And I think that was another sign of the awareness just lacking. Like, most people would understand we don't go to the inner city and hand out turkeys in a car that cost more than a lot of these people's houses. That's probably just not the right move. I can see he's trying, though. And I think that's the part of the other point is, like, I can see him trying, whether it's the stuff with Shador or whether it's even just handing out turkeys to begin with. He's trying. It's just a little too late for a lot of Browns fans.
Yeah, and this probably isn't fair. And I'm going to say it that way because there have been a lot of things that have gone against Deshaun that if you're Deshaun, you probably don't feel like you've gotten a fair rip here. And I understand that, and he's probably right. He didn't make it easy on himself. He never there were, I'm even going to go into it because you open up a whole can of worms. But I think my point is, like, even that stuff, I'm like, well, is he doing that stuff right now because he wants to try and be a different person? Or is he doing that stuff because he's trying to rehab his image? Like, the Shador stuff. Like, there's a part of me that's like, okay, what is the guy who couldn't figure out this offense for 2 years under Stefanski, the first 2 years when they had him here before they went to the Ken Dorsey debacle? How is that guy teaching Shador Sanders how to play quarterback in this system?
He seems like a great help, though. Like, it seems like Shador really values him being there. It felt like Dylan Gabriel valued him being there, too. I don't know. I don't know what value he gives to these guys, but clearly there's something. I mean, it's not as if he forgot everything about football. Before he ran into his troubles, he knew what he was doing on a football field.
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny, like the procedural stuff. Like, Bill O'Brien screaming out the play call to Deshaun Watson was something we found out after Deshaun started being bad here. Like, Bill O'Brien basically made it so that Deshaun could go out on the field and just play football. And I will say, listen, I might be more amiable to the idea of Deshaun in 2026. One, because it's not the end of a wasted season where I don't know if you're putting him in the right situation. I don't know you're putting the fans in the right position. But here's the other thing. I don't think Kevin Stefanski is going to be here next year. So, like, to me, I think it's the idea of as much as I don't need to see Deshaun again, as much as it's insulting that the Browns would want to do this year, I don't need to see Deshaun with Kevin. Like, we had a caller call in earlier, and he's like, well, how do you know? It's not just Kevin. Okay, you can sell me on that in the offseason. You cannot sell me that when Kevin's still here. Well, but Kevin with Tommy Rees. It's like, okay, Tommy Rees is an extension of Kevin Stefanski. Come on, what are we doing?
Right, but I guess the worry I would have is that the Haslams would start to buy into some of that thinking as well and be like, well,
oh,
all right.
They will. Yeah.
And it's going to give them some false sense of hope. And then, I really don't know. There might be something there on the football field that we just missed with him and Stefanski. That's not the problem for me. The problem is he's too injured of a player. I'm just going to fall back on that.
216-474-0092. Will we see Deshaun Watson in 2025? We'll have Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, answer that question. We'll also talk about what the next five games are for the Cleveland Browns on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.